9:15, I think we're ready to start the Regional Plan Implementation Committee. If everybody can kind of gather around with their sunshiny faces on this fine morning. And let's see, the first order of is good morning. We're going to call the meeting of the Tahoe Regional Planning Agency Regional Plan Implementation Committee to order. The date is Wednesday, January 26, 2022. The time is 9:15, and the first item on the agenda is a roll call. Tracy, will you please do the roll call for me?
Ms. Oldeen?
I see her.
Here.
Thank you. Mr. Bruce?
Here.
Mr. Friedrich?
Here.
Ms. Gustafson?
Here.
Mr. Honigman?
Here.
Mr. Lawrence?
Here.
Mr. Yates?
Here. And I want committee members to know I've invited our colleague Bud Hicks to join us for this committee hearing because of item number three, which is the discussion of the recommendations on the Forest Health Code language changes. His committee did a lot of work in the policy part of this matter. And I thought it'd be useful that he be here for the discussion, which is principally our issue about making sure that the revisions made to the code match what his committee is recommending as far as policy. So let's see, the second item on, maybe it's am I at the rules time, Catherine? I think I am. You're gonna give me a slide. Oh, that's great. Thank you very much. The meeting rules for today's hearing is to observe and participate in the meeting is to go to www.trpa.gov, select January 26, 2022, Governing Board meeting on the calendar and follow the link to the webinar. Members of the public can find all the meeting materials there as well. There must be another slide. In order to participate in this RPIC meeting with your comments, please use the hand-raising function in the GoToWebinar platform at the appropriate agenda item. With your hand raised, you'll be unmuted by TRPA staff and have 3 minutes to address the Regional Plan Implementation Committee. If you've contacted the TRPA for reasonable accommodation and received a unique PIN for dial-in, please make sure you enter that PIN so that you may be identified and unmuted by TRPA staff. If you're using GoToWebinar's Instant Join web app, please make sure it's opened in the Google Chrome browser and that you allow access to your microphone in order to be unmuted. If you are joining via the call-in number posted on our website, please note this is a listen-only option. If you wish to address the Regional Plan Implementation Committee, you will need to log in via GoToWebinar on your computer, tablet, or smartphone, or dial your unique PIN number. For committee members, if you wish to speak, please alert me via the chat function. If you are online or speak up, if you are calling in, please set your chat box now to message panelists and organizers to ensure that I see your message. Remote committee members may only use the chat function to indicate desire to speak. This function must not be used to have sidebar conversations. Please remember to mute your mic unless speaking to cut down on background noise. Finally, I would like to have all remote members turn on their cameras as we now have sufficient capacity on our platform to accommodate everyone. So the next item is the approval of the agenda. And John, is there any changes? John Hester, is there any changes in the agenda?
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the RPIC. Happy 2022. There are no changes to the agenda.
Well, thank you, John. And it's good to hear. So we'll deem the agenda approved as posted. And then the next item we have is agenda item number two, which is approval of a set of minutes from our December 15th, 2021 meeting, which were on page 15 of our packet. And do any members of the committee wish to make a change? I see shaking her head no. Okay. So I will entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve the RPIC minutes of December 15th, 2021 as presented.
Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Anyone wanting to abstain? Okay, I think we're on. So that brings us to the discussion of and possible action or recommendation of the Forest Health Code language regarding mechanical ground-based equipment on 30 to 50% slopes, Chapter 61, Vegetation and Forest Health, Section 61.1.6.B through 61.1.6.D, which is found at page 333 of your packet and the exhibits that are attached. And I also like to just kind of clarify for everyone, really our role as a Regional Plan Implementation Committee, because Bud's committee handled the substantive issues. We are primarily making sure that what is in the code matches what should be done. We do have a comment letter. I know that during public comment or after public comment, John Marshall may want to address some of the concerns raised by that letter, which go to the substance of what is being proposed to the governing board. And we can deal with that. But right now, I believe I will pass this on to staff. Kat McIntyre will present the information regarding the code changes and the overall program. Kat?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, committee members. As mentioned, my name is Kat McIntyre, and I'm the Forest Health Program Manager here with the Tahoe Regional Planning Agency. And today I will be presenting on the proposed Forest Health Code amendments and language regarding ground-based mechanical equipment on slopes 30 to 50%. Next slide, please. So for our agenda for this presentation, I'll unpack the history, background, and ultimate need for this code amendment. We'll review the code amendments and their substance. There will be discussion and questions, and then there will be a motion for recommendation. Next slide, please. So for most of you, you know that the Angora fire occurred in 2007. It burned in around South Lake Tahoe. It burned approximately 3,100 acres and 250 plus structures were destroyed during that fire. From that, we had the Emergency California Nevada Tahoe Basin Fire Commission that was this joint bi-state effort that produced a report of recommendations on policy, implementation, and education regarding vulnerability to fire and forest resilience within the Tahoe Basin. Next slide, please. So over the years since that report came out, Tahoe Fire and Fuels team and agencies around the basin have been working to implement those recommendations. And one of the final recommendations that has yet to be implemented is this one around simplifying regulations. And so if you look at letter J at the bottom of the slide, you'll see the commission recommends the TRPA, the Lahontan Regional Water Quality Control Board, the USDA Forest Service, and other affected agencies amend their plan and ordinances to allow equipment use on slopes greater than 30% based on current and future technology and current forest practices to ensure resource protection. You might remember that in September's governing board briefing on Caldor Fire, Chris Anthony from CAL FIRE presented, and he spoke specifically to this recommendation that this is really the last big one that has yet to be implemented and is critical in terms of forest resilience and reducing fire risk within the basin. I would also just like to point out that in the state of California, the California Forest Practice Act currently allows for treatment with ground-based mechanical equipment above 30%. And around the country, you will actually see that implementers are going above 30% with ground-based mechanical equipment, that this is really a basin-specific regulation kind of relic from the past. Next slide, please. So again, just pulling on this thread, the Angora fire treatments, what we're seeing on your left are areas that were treated that burned, and then on the right are areas that were untreated. And so Safford et al. From 2009 produced a paper that shows that fuel treatments generally performed as designed and substantially changed fire behavior and subsequent fire effects to forest vegetation. Exceptions include two treatment units where slope steepness led to lower levels of fuel removal due to local standards for erosion prevention. And so this is really showing that areas that were treated fared much better under the Angora fire. The areas that weren't specifically on steep slopes due to regulation did not fare as well. Next slide, please. Again, we've seen these pictures in multiple presentations that I brought to the board and to our committees. These are just the Emerald Fire treatment effectiveness pictures. What you see on the left, you can see where there was no treatment and then where there is treatment, the fire falls to the ground. We have standing trees. When you look to the right, that's an area that had been treated before the Emerald Fire came through. You still have standing live vegetation where what you see on the far left, the ground is scorched and the trees are gone. Next slide, please. Giving a little bit of breakdown on the slopes that are 30 to 50% within the basin. Within the basin, approximately 61,000 acres or 20% of total land fall on slopes 30 to 50%. I would like to point out that while those could be subject to this code amendment, that does not necessarily mean that all of those slopes would be treated. Many of those slopes are bare, open granite areas or, you know, shrubland. So those are not going to be treated with ground-based mechanical equipment. But of these acres, 25,300 or 41% fall within WUI defense and WUI threat zones. And I think that's important to point out because those are the areas that we need to be focusing on in terms of fire risk and forest resilience and ensuring communities are safe. Also, the majority of acres that are 30 to 50% slopes fall on federal lands, about 47,000 or 77%. Next slide, please. There is an ecological and economic need. So our current code allows for hand treatment on slopes greater than 30%. This is resource intensive and often more costly. When we talk about limited budgets, this just means that the dollars that come into the basin for fuel treatment cannot go as far as they might if we were allowed to do ground-based mechanical treatment on those slopes. Pile burning is often less ecologically beneficial than those broadcast slow and low burns that we have where it's going through under the canopy of the trees. And so ground-based mechanical equipment would allow us to get in there and do those kind of low and slow burns. I don't want to say that pile burning won't still exist within the basin, but a code amendment would ultimately reduce the number of piles that are on the landscape. And again, this all has implications for pace and scale of restoration. We just went through the Caldor fire. We know now more than ever that pace and scale of restoration and increasing our forest treatments is critical to getting ahead of mega fires coming into the basin. Next slide, please. So with all of this, we decided to engage scientists on the analysis. So we engaged our science partners through the Pacific Southwest Research Station in the University of Idaho to assess erosion effects of a variety of restoration treatments on hill slopes and soil types within the Lake Tahoe West landscape and across the entire Lake Tahoe Basin. And in July 2021, there was a presentation from those scientists to the Forest Health and Wildfire Committee on their initial findings, which are contained within their report. Next slide, please. So the report was Attachment D, the WEP Watershed Erosion Prediction Project report. And I just want to point out some of the key findings. So sediment and phosphorus yields from moderate or high severity fire were significantly more than all thinning scenarios that they modeled within the basin. Additionally, managers would need to apply thinning treatments more than 50 times within 60 years to generate erosion that would eliminate any benefits of reducing wildfire severity from moderate to low. And so to put that into context, that would mean we would need to be treating almost every year for 60 years, which is just, we would never be doing that. Next slide. Most sediment yield on slopes between 30 and 50% comes from areas covered by shrubs and grasses and not from forested areas. So forested areas are the areas that we are targeting under this code amendment, not shrubs and grasses. Shrubs and grasses would not be treated with ground-based mechanical equipment. If anything, they would be broadcast burned. And then lastly, on hill slopes between 30 and 50%, thinning will increase the risk of erosion. but when thinned hill slopes erode, the sediment yield is no different when compared to an untreated hill slope. Next slide, please. So the WEP report was produced. We worked with our scientists, and then I used that to work with key Tahoe Fire and Fuels team members to collaboratively review and craft code language that maintains our environmental protection while allowing for the increased use of ground-based mechanical equipment on steeper slopes. So I specifically worked with Nevada Division of Forestry, Tahoe Resource Conservation District, the USDA Forest Service, and California Tahoe Conservancy, all key members of the Tahoe Fire and Fuels team. Next slide, please. So now I'm going to break down our proposed code amendments. There are two main purposes for these code amendments. One is clarification and standardization, and the other piece is the expanded treatment opportunities, which is the real meat of these code amendments. Next slide, please. So code amendments for clarification and standardization. Next slide, please. So first is the inclusion of over frozen ground tree removal. So for many of you, you might remember in previous code amendment iterations that I've been working on, we included over frozen ground. And so we just wanted to standardize with those previous code updates to include that the removal of trees can occur over snow and frozen ground. And so what you'll see below are those areas where we just added in the words over frozen ground. Next slide, please. We also wanted to refine equipment definitions. So this was to reflect the suite of machinery and technology that's currently available for tree removal. So you'll see I removed our all-in-one process at stump harvesters, because what happens is machines are often not all-in-one. We have one machine that comes in and harvest, and another machine that comes in and moves those materials out. And so we felt that it was just really important to reflect what's actually occurring on the landscape today versus these historical code languages. Next slide, please. Okay, so proposed code amendments for expanded treatment. Next slide, please. We refined table 61.1.6-1, and you'll see two refinements. One, we took out tractor roads. Implementers felt that calling it a road is not accurate. These are actually really more trails. It's just the path that the machine is taking to get up. It's not what we think of as a typical road. It's not built to road standards. So we took the word road out. And then for maximum grade, there still will need to be skidding above 30%. And when I talk about skidding, that's really moving the tree along the ground. It can be fully on the ground. It can be partially suspended on the ground.
This is Barbara. I'm on calls too, and I know you are. No, that's okay.
Barbara,
I want to know.
Barbara,
I gotta.
Barbara, you're on.
You need to mute.
Mute yourself, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Thank you. So we need to allow for those skid trails or the secondary skid trails. Again, those areas where we're dragging the tree or partially dragging the tree, we need those to be able to go up to the 50%, because you're going to be doing that type of activity on 30 to 50% slopes. Next slide. Refinement of table 61.1.6-3. So this replaced the TRPA water break spacing requirements with California Forest Practice Act water break spacing requirements. So California Forest Practice Act, as I mentioned, you are allowed to treat up to 50%. You're actually allowed to go above 50% with ground-based mechanical equipment. So I used their water bar or water break spacing requirements to replace ours. So you'll see in ours, we have land capability district, and we felt, the implementers and myself, felt comfortable with replacing that old table with this new table, because the estimated hazard rating still takes into consideration erosion and all of the different soil types that our land capability district requirements are taking into place. And so we are just replacing that table with this new table from the California Forest Practice Act. Next slide, please. So we also refined table 61.16-4. And so this is to allow that ground-based mechanical equipment on slopes over 30%. So 1A, 1C, and 2 for land capability districts are all above 30%. And you'll see that we add use of ground-based equipment and skidding may be used pursuant to 61.16F1 through 61.16F5 with approval by the TRPA. So again, these will need to be approved. Next slide, please. And this is where the rubber really hits the road in terms of these code amendments. So this is to allow for skidding on 30 to 50% slopes. And it says ground skidding may be permitted on slopes under 30%. That was always allowed. Ground skidding on slopes between 30% and 50% requires TRPA review and approval to ensure that environmental protective measures, e.g. water breaks, vegetative buffers, slope length limitations, and remaining group cover post treatment for erodible soil avoidance will be in place to minimize slope erosion. Next slide, please. And then we mimic that language for ground-based mechanical equipment on 30 to 50% slopes. So ground-based vehicle systems for removing trees without skidding, such as harvester and forester combinations, may be used on slopes below 30%. On slopes between 30 to 50%, ground-based vehicle systems for tree removal requires TRPA review and approval to ensure that environmental protective measures, again, water breaks, vegetative buffers, slope length limitations, et cetera, will be in place to minimize slope erosion. Next slide, please. So next steps and key points. I think for everyone, Caldor Fire really highlighted the critical importance of continuing to get forest treatments and defensible space work done in the basin at a much faster pace and scale. These code amendments came to the Forest Health and Wildfire Committee in November 2021 and were recommended as is to come to RPIC and subsequently and eventually the governing board. TFFG partners have worked on the Forest Action Plan, which was released in 2019. And this plan charts a path forward to collaboratively accelerating landscape restoration and wildfire protection, focusing on three key areas: technology, capacity and workforce development, and then streamlining permitting and planning. And TFFG is going to be meeting in February to actually talk about how we prioritize funding and our work in the 2022 coming season. We have an influx of funding for forest treatments and resilience. And so having these code amendments in place to get that work done will be critical. Next slide, please. I do want to point out that these code amendments were analyzed under an expanded checklist, and there were findings of no significant impact for all areas. Multiple levels of environmental protection are currently in place for water quality, erosion, and vegetative management, including our TRPA Code of Ordinances, the California and Nevada Forestry Regulations, and LTBMU Forest Plan Standards and Guidelines from 2016-2017. Next slide, please. And with that, I will open this up for committee comments and questions and conversation. Thank you.
Kat, thank you so much. It's a very thorough, succinct report. I appreciate it. And also probably helps to answer some of the questions we received in the letter that came in overnight regarding concerns, legitimate concerns about what all this means as far as environmental issues concerning Lake Tahoe. So are there any comments from committee members? I don't see anything on the chat. I don't know if you just want to raise your hand or you're satisfied with the committee report, and I'll go right to public comment. I don't see any chats, don't see any hand waivers. So I'll go to open it up to public comment. And who's doing, Catherine, are you doing public comment?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I am. We have a few hands raised. First hand up is Milan Yates. Milan, if you can address the committee.
All right, excellent. Welcome, can you get along? Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members. Excellent. My name is Milan Yates. I am the Community Forestry Program Supervisor at the California Tahoe Conservancy, but I'm here today to speak to you guys representing the Tahoe Fire and Fuels team. So I just wanted to speak in support of these code amendments and to piggyback on Kat's great presentation, excellent presentation there, explaining everything. I just wanted to say, you know, speaking as the TFFT here, partners are in support of this code change. We feel that it'll be very beneficial to the work that we have planned out over the next several years. And then just to touch really quickly here on a little bit more of the background that Kat did speak about in one of her slides there. So the original Blue State, Blue Ribbon Bi-State Commission was put together by the governors Schwarzenegger and Gibbons at the time. The group made 38 findings and 90 recommendations initially. We've been working toward those in the last 14 years. One of the 90 recommendations was the formation of the Tahoe Fire and Fuels Team. So that was one of the original recommendations, and that's what precipitated the team. As Kat mentioned, one of the last kind of big hurdles or largest recommendations that the team is anxious to see us overcome is recommendation 17J, which is the commission recommends TRPA, LAHOT, and USDA Forest Service and other affected agencies amend their plan and ordinances to allow equipment use on slopes greater than 30% based on current and future technology and current forest practices to ensure resource protection. So I think we've summed it up there. And again, excellent presentation, Kat. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Next hand up is Casey KC. Casey, if you unmute yourself, you can address the committee.
Great, thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Casey Casey, State Forester Fire Warden for the Nevada Division of Forestry. I don't want to repeat all that was just said. That was an excellent presentation from Kat. I'm here today in support of increasing the slope from 30 to 50% for tree removal with mechanized equipment. Also, the language changes. The Division of Forestry went through our statutes last session and did a similar type modernization for new equipment and technology. This actually, the change from 30 to 50% slope brings the TRPA's rules into alignment with state statute in the state of Nevada under NRS 528, which allows for mechanized equipment use on slopes up to 50% if proper erosion control is installed. So this makes it very consistent, and we're just here to support. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I'm glad that we're catching up with Nevada.
Next hand up is Laura Patton. Laura, if you unmute, you can address the committee.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Thanks for the opportunity to comment. I'm Laura Patton, and I'm the Senior Science Policy Analyst. My name is Laura. I'm speaking on behalf of the League to Save Lake Tahoe today. Overall, we'd like to offer our support for this basin-wide amendment to the Code of Ordinances to allow for ground-based mechanical equipment on slopes up to 50%. That being said, that's under the appropriate circumstances, should erosion be mitigated and water quality be protected, as Kat demonstrated in her excellent presentation. The League understands that approximately 20% of the project area for Lake Tahoe West, for example, consists of slopes between 30 and 50% that would benefit from this type of ground-based mechanical thinning, and that any environmental analysis will need to consider the effects of using ground-based mechanical equipment within those areas and look at the effects of this code amendment for the entire Lake Tahoe Basin. Considering one of the goals of Lake Tahoe agencies and our partners is to increase the pace and scale of restoration, implementing this code amendment is really integral and in line with this goal. Science clearly demonstrates that though thinning scenarios narrowly increase sediment and phosphorus yields, a moderate or high severity fire like the Calder Fire would have larger implications on water quality and Lake Tahoe's renowned clarity. Therefore, the League recommends moving forward with this code change amendment. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Steve Teixeira, if you unmute yourself, you can address the committee.
Thank you, Catherine, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee. Steve Teixeira, I am the owner and principal of Sustainable Community Advocates. And working with my company, I do a lot of work with the Tahoe Fire and Fuels team. So I just want to add to the voices, the comments that you've already heard to be in support of this set of amendments. Thank Dr. McIntyre for her excellent presentation. And of course, point out, as many of you know, that Bud Hicks of your governing board served on the Bi-State Fire Commission low these many years ago, and I know he has a great deal of history and background as to why this is important and timely, because an update of the Community Wildfire Protection Plan for Lake Tahoe is upcoming. And of course, as you've heard, we've got quite a bit of funding available, and so this is a good time to be able to make this change. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve.
Final hand raise is Scott Lindgren. Scott, if you unmute yourself, you can address the committee.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Thank you for allowing me to speak. My name is Scott Lindgren. I'm the fire chief of the Tahoe Douglas Fire Department on the Nevada side of the lake, and I'm also the acting chair of the MAC committee for the fire and fuels team for the lake. I'm speaking in support of this, obviously. I think it's an awesome thing. I think that was an outstanding presentation by Kat, and there's not a lot to add other than my support. The one thing I would like to add, and I joined just a little bit late, so I don't know if she talked about some of the different machinery that you can use, but we're pursuing the purchase of a spider excavator that, if you haven't seen one and you can research it, it's just amazing. The most exciting thing about it is it can do things that normal excavators can't, and it treads lightly on the environment. It literally walks up the steep slopes like a spider and not like an excavator. And it's exactly the type of equipment that we need to be using in the basin so that we can protect our environment. So super, super excited about it. And really, it's gonna be a game changer for us to be able to work in these slopes rather than just with our hand crews, because we can only do so much, and there's so much work to be done in the basin to protect this place. So I just wanted to show my support. Excellent presentation, Kat, and thank you. And if you need anything else from me, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you for taking the time and all the good work that you and everybody else does on the fire force team and getting through the Caldor Fire. Incredible work. I actually look forward to seeing that spider thing. I have this vision of a Lucasfilm kind of character wandering across Lake Tahoe. That'd be kind of nice. Anyway, any more comments, Catherine?
Mr. Chair, there are no other hands raised to comment on this item.
Thank you very much for checking all that out. Now I bring it back to the committee. I don't know, John, whether you need to address the letter that came. I thought Kat's presentation and the discussion we heard from other public commenters has kind of addressed that issue. I just would point out, just for the record, that we are simply making some changes to our code. There are other provisions of our code, especially Chapter 62, that deals with protection of wildlife habitats and things like that, and whether we need to cross-reference that maybe before it goes to the governing board, we can discuss that. But I believe that the environmental analysis is sound and speaks for itself in our packet, and the work that was done by Bud Hicks committee, and I was really pleased that Bud was willing to take on this committee, which used to be more of a forest wildfire committee, and we got into forest health and other issues based on having to share with his experience and certainly Kat's good staff leadership on this committee. So I'm prepared for a motion. I believe there's a motion to be made based on page 333 of our packet, if someone wants to make that motion.
Bill, can I interject something?
Sure, you may. I didn't see any comment. I'm sorry.
Online, the letter we received, actually I received it last night, speaks to the applicability of the compact and whether or not we are operating in sync with that compact. So I think it might be useful for John to put something on the record in case this becomes an issue later on. Once we take action on this item.
Thank you for the opportunity, Shelley. Yeah, I just want to quickly say that the recommendation that you all are making to make the finding for no significant impact with regard to these code amendments is consistent with the compact, and it's consistent with using an environmental initial environmental checklist to get to that finding, to support that finding. And in particular, because it's based on the very extensive study that Kat referenced that demonstrates that implementation of this program will not have a significant effect. And I think the key one that they were looking at was water quality. So I'm fully confident that the environmental findings that are before you for recommendation are supported both legally and by the record.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, John. I do see some questions. Some of you had questions, and I apologize for not looking at my chat here, but Jim, you have a comment.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. real quick, I think this is just a tremendously important issue. Almost two decades ago when I joined the state of Nevada, put together our EIP team, you know, working with our foresters on that huge swath of state land between Spooner Summit and Incline Village, it became very clear to all of us that given the topography of the basin and of this area, that we would not be able to totally achieve forest health conditions and reduce catastrophic fire risk without an amendment to do mechanical treatment on steeper slopes, because there's so many steeper slopes. And so I think this is a critically urgent issue. And I just want to take this opportunity to appreciate Bud Hicks's work. I was working with the forestry crew and Bud Hicks was co-chairing the Bi-State Blue Ribbon Commission. And it was pretty clear to all of us that this was needed. And I really appreciate your leadership, as well as Kat's work and staff's work on this, and the TFFT. I do think this is important, and even more so, you know, I represent the state of Nevada, live in Reno, and I've lived in Carson. You know, it always felt like, as Kat said, at the higher elevations, a lot of it's not forested, particularly on the east shore. A lot of it is granite and shrubs. And it always seemed to be sort of a safe buffer if there was a fire in the basin to protect Carson and Reno. But as we knew with the Caldor fire, I don't think anybody expected a fire to jump the crest, basically. And so I think that should be even more of a wake-up call on how important this is. And we need to get our forest in healthy conditions for a variety of reasons. So I'm supportive of this, and I just wanted to use the opportunity to thank all of the folks that worked so hard on this. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate your comments. Mark, you have a comment.
Yes, please. So thank you very much for bringing this cat, for staff, for fire teams in both states. Everyone's been very conscientious, thoughtful. Thank you for bringing this. And I would just encourage everybody to continue to look for ways, because of the way climate is changing and our challenges are changing, continue to look for ways to try to do our best to stay ahead of all of this by bringing more ideas to us to make this kind of difference. And thanks, Bud, for your committee. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark. Yes, I think adaptability is something that we have to be really aware of in light of global warming issues. Bud, is there anything you want to say? I'll give you a chance as far as the work that that you've been doing on this for quite some time since being in charge of this committee.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. When I started on this work, I had more hair and it wasn't this color. But I'm very pleased that we're here today, and I appreciate all of the comments. You know, back when we had the Blue Ribbon Commission, it really was a shock. For those of you who were around and involved in one way or another, the Angora fire was a real shock because it came into our Tahoe neighborhood. It destroyed homes, and in that process destroyed lives. Fortunately, no lives were lost as a result of the fire, but many people lost their homes, lost all of their belongings, and it was just a terrible shock. On the commission itself, quite frankly, you know, I think there was a real awareness of the need to protect the public, protect property, protect lives. And also through our hearings at that time, we heard from the various environmental groups. We heard from the managers, the Forest Service, Lahontan Water Quality Control Board, and you know, we got the full picture of all of the different elements and aspects that has to be addressed to protect the lake, to protect the environment, but also to protect lives and property. This study that we just received from it's the WEP study. I mean, it really tells us a story there. There's 61,000 acres in the basin that fall within this category. And of that 61,000 acres, 23,000 or 25,300 acres are in the WUI, right up next to our homes and properties and near schools, you know. And if we need, if you need any proof at all as to the safety risk, look at the Caledore fire and look at the fact that fuel spinning worked to preserve homes, schools, lives throughout that area. So this is obviously the solution we have to do. And the other part of the WEP study is, you know, when it showed us that we would have to do this treatment 50 times in the next 60 years to equate, you know, the erosion that the lake would suffer. You know, again, you don't have to be a scientist to understand that these catastrophic fires, when they burn, I mean, that's the most destructive thing you can have for the environment, air, water, everything. So, you know, this is a long overdue thing that needs to be done. I really and truly appreciate the work of the Tahoe Fire and Fuels team and the TRPA staff, Kat and Kim Carringer, and the entire staff on this. It's certainly time to reconcile these things through amendments such as this. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Bud. Thank you for your leadership. And John Friedrich, you have a comment.
Yeah, well, I think Bud essentially said what I was going to say. I would just reiterate the element that Bud said and the league that when in the cost benefit, clearly any incremental impacts from erosion with these prescriptions are far outweighed by the impacts of catastrophic fire and the treatments in response to them. I mean, if you just walk around the basin and look at, I don't know if it's Cat, 60 miles of dozer lines or something that were laid down during the Caledore fire, and imagine the impacts that are created in a crisis as opposed to those that can be planned and minimized with proactive treatments using technology, which, as described to us, is much lighter footprint than it perhaps was in the past. So for me, it's clear that, you know, we need to increase the pace and scale, and the environmental impacts are far less in doing it in this fashion than waiting for the next crisis where, you know, all bets are off for any type of environmental protection. So I'm, and our Forest Health Committee came to that strong unanimous conclusion, and I'm certainly prepared to support it.
Thank you, John. When we had our holiday party in December, I drove up Highway 50 just from, I think, Twin Bridges up to Echo. It's very sobering to see the damage caused by one of these mega fires. And then to drive around, Julie Reagan of our staff gave me kind of a route to take through Christmas Valley. And it's just remarkable. No homes were lost, no structures lost. Skipped over the top, went across Highway 89 and shot across the Carson Range. And yet, because of the fuel reduction done and things that we did to harden the structures themselves, reduced the size of that fire to the point that the people that were the amazing fire workers that were out there with hoses and trucks and all sorts of stuff could just fight that fire and protect those structures, because it was impossible to do that up at Echo Summit because the flames were 100 feet high. And so it was, it is a testimony of what needs to be done. And we do have Tahoe West coming up, and I think these changes are appropriate. And I'm willing to accept a motion from someone here to make a recommendation to the full board.
So moved.
Well, I appreciate moving my speech, but there is two motions to be made here on page 333 regarding our recommended approval of findings and the adoption of the ordinance.
And the first motion's on your screen.
I'd be happy to make that motion.
And the first motion. All right, thank you, John.
Okay, I'd like to make a motion to recommend approval of the required findings as described in attachment B, including a finding of no significant effect for adoption of the code of ordinance amendments as described in the staff summary.
Any comments on the motion? I see nothing. My chat, no hands raised. So would you open the roll, please? Tracy, I think you're in charge of roll.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Lawrence?
Aye.
Mr. Honigman?
Yes.
Mr. Friedrich?
Aye.
Mr. Bruce?
Yes.
Ms. Aldine?
Yes.
Ms. Gustafson?
Yes.
Mr. Yates?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, that motion passes.
Thank you very much, Tracy. And the next motion, please. John, are you going to make that?
Sure. A motion to recommend, I'll move to recommend adoption of the ordinance 2020-, amending ordinance 87-9 to amend the code of ordinances as shown in attachment A.
Thank you, John. That's ordinance 2022-blank. Yes.
Right.
Okay. You open the roll again, Tracy.
Ms. Gustafson?
Yes.
Ms. Aldine?
Yes.
Mr. Bruce?
Yes.
Mr. Friedrich?
Yes.
Mr. Honigman?
Yes.
Mr. Lawrence?
Yes.
Mr. Yates?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, that motion also passes.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody. So now we move to agenda item number 4, which is committee member comments. Are there any just general comments committee members have? I don't see anything on the chat. Don't see any hand raisers. So I will think that there's nothing more for that item. And so I guess the last item would be the general public interest comment period. Catherine, are there anybody queued up to comment to the committee?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If any member of the public would like to address the committee at this time, please raise your hand by clicking on the hand icon on the left-hand side of your control panel. Mr. Chair, there are no hands raised to make a comment on this item.
Thank you, Catherine. Thanks for covering on my rules there, too. Appreciate it. So I think we're ready for adjournment, a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Thank you, Shelley. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Thank you. Thank you for a good committee meeting. Appreciate it.